to the quiz. And you know when it's
when there we go. Sorry, no, shut up, Dave. We're busy. We're about to start the show.
Hey, man.
Geez, sorry, guys. We ran. I ran to the kitchen to go get some coffee. James is like, you got 15 seconds. I'm like, how am I going to make it from there to here in 15 seconds?
James, you've got to get us more time.
Dave, how are you sitting on this chair?
Where's Leanne? Leanne, I have a crush on her. Okay. I've never met her.
Leanne is only on a Monday.
Someone's come back on Monday.
You can come back on Monday if you want. I'll just warn her and get her a rape whistle.
But I used to do on your radio show back in the day when you called it, what was it? Ass, Leas, Mall.
Leas, I still call her Leas.
Yeah, and it was just, you had such a bantery
vibe.
Listen,
I love Leas.
She's so chilled.
She is. She's still the same, except that she's become like even funnier in some ways.
Because she's lost a little bit of that edge. She just gives
No, she's never, like she used to be a massive drinker, remember?
I do.
She used to drink heavily. I used to have to do...
I mean, you invented Pusa Thursday.
Yeah, I had to do 20% of her news bulletins at 6 o'clock because she was just not there on time. And I would read the news. Are you all right there, Dave?
Ask me. How does that make you feel?
How does that make you feel, Dave?
I just feel so irrelevant.
Sit up, you idiot. What a fucking
Can you imagine? You know what we do? We've done stuff.
Hang on. Dave was... No, shut up. Just let me direct this for a second. Dave was saying something so nice about his kid just now. And I thought, you know what? You're always funny, always saying ridiculous, stupid things. You are a clown and you are hilarious. You're also very clever. And I thought it was so nice what you just said as we were rushing in here because James had given us 15 seconds about your son.
So you know what?
You said, I'm so proud of this guy. He's become such a nice human being. He's so clever. He's a good person.
Good person.
That's fantastic. So that
maybe
you can't
is
wish
it nature?
For anything better.
You can't. And I don't get it. I don't say it about my kid. I watch other people and they'll come to me and go, damn, Dave. The one woman literally couldn't stop herself. She said, how does an asshole like you have such a nice kid?
Exactly.
And I looked at her and I thought I was upset about what she'd said. And I'm like, damn, you're right.
I think it's a compliment to you. It's a compliment to your ex-wife.
And I think people try and be funny when they're with comedians.
But also it's a compliment to him. Because, you know, my sister and her boyfriend, they don't have kids. But they said something which is, I wish that all parents had this front of mind all the time, is don't raise a child that other people won't like. You know? And it sounds like a simple thing.
It's just very difficult.
It's a difficult thing to do. I meet a lot of kids and I think, wow, your parents raised you right. You're a decent, well-mannered, like acceptable human being.
I mean, there's not many of those
Behave
kids.
Yourself. You've got, you're articulate.
Yeah. Little conversations can happen. Yeah.
Yeah. You're smart. You can sit with the adults and you can have a conversation with them, but you're not precocious.
That's it.
Like it's a really fine line to walk.
And he attracts good kids as well. So he'll have a sleepover and there'll be three teenagers in your house. The food's gone within the first hour.
Yeah.
And they're just running around doing crazy. But he attracts cool kids. And I know I wasn't a good kid. We were naughty. We were told.
You were bad.
I was
they said you were a bad child, right?
The influence. They phoned my mom and said,
bad dog. The bad dog day.
Parents would phone and say, can your son please stop hanging around with my son? My mom's like, who is this? She's like, it's
she'd go, fuck you.
You're the fourth person to phone.
Can you imagine Dave's mother taking
call? You think Leanne drank a lot?
Yeah, what's your mom? Really?
Case of beers, gone.
Really?
And then goes to work on time.
So your mom
got us to school.
Your mom would drink a case of beer.
She made sandwiches
in the morning,
on the weekend. She drank a case of beers. And you know what's nice? She said, I did something different today. I took the bus to work, and we said, "That's nice, mom." She goes, "I've never driven a bus before."
So that's where it comes from.
I think you know what it is. East Rand vibes.
Yeah.
Drinking is normalized.
Listen, just come, you know, take a compliment.
Risking,
your kid is nice, which means that you're nice. And I know you are. I mean, you're the kind of person who, even though I think you're a crazy weirdo.
But I do let him out. It's called what? Giving up enough rope to hang yourself.
On. I'm giving you a compliment.
Your compliment's a crazy weirdo.
Yes. You are a crazy weirdo.
Do you want to see my tattoo?
And no, I don't want to see anything. Thank you. When someone goes, do you want to see my, I just like, no.
I had a tattoo of my asshole next to my asshole to confuse
I know.
A proctologist one day. He goes, which one is it? And I've had them put a scratch and sniff tattoo. so that if I do one day when I'm dead, they're gonna go, look at this guy, was amazing.
He had two assholes.
And they won't put my face on TV like that guy. They'll go, look at Dave Levinson's bum. Anyway, you were saying.
So I was saying that good for you that you've raised this nice child.
Oh, I hope so.
He's well just, done.
He looks like he's getting it right.
Well, it sounds to me like.
Together were you when you were 15?
No, dude, I was a disaster. I wasn't a disaster. I was pretty nerdy.
What did you want to be?
Emperor of the world.
How's it going?
Fucking not well. I'm not even a 20th of the
way. Do you want to come there. Lie on the couch?
No, but I was a megalomaniac as a kid. It was seriously all I wanted. In fact,
academic?
If you got hold of any of my friends from school, asked them, what did Gareth want to be? They would have said Emperor of the power. World. Yeah, which was like weird.
So did you do debating with your prefect, all that shit?
Yeah, all that shit.
Really?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
And I was friends with everyone at school, which was nice because I made them laugh.
And you're also friends with the jocks and the nerds.
Yeah.
That's clever.
No, I had mates who were, and which was weird for high school. I also had friends who were like complete fucking rebels. Like there's this one friend of mine who just, she would be smoking during break behind the wall that no one checked.
And then you would sell her the cigarettes. That's a nice thing.
No, I never, but I once or twice had to bring her some cigarettes from my parents because she never had enough.
Courtly Satin Leaf.
No, she'd smoke anything. Fucking, she'd smoke anything.
I love her.
I don't know. She was great. I'm sure she's fine. I'm sure she's settled down and she's got like two kids.
So what was great about that?
Drives a Volvo.
You had those friends.
No, I had, because it was a mix. You have to mix with different people. Mm. So I mentioned on Monday, I went to Kate Turkington's 90th birthday on Saturday, which was absolutely amazing. I mean, I was maybe the youngest person of my generation, but there were people in their 90s, 80s, 70s, 60s, 50s, 40s, 30s, 20s.
Yeah, good on her.
Yes, because she, and obviously the ones in their 20s were her grandchildren.
Yes.
But you have to have a mix of friends. You have to have people of different ages, people from different walks of life. You have to have different like stimulation.
So at my school, I pushed for having friends in other schools because what happens is you're doing long jump against Highlands North.
Yeah.
Now you hate this guy.
Yeah.
Why?
But you don't know him.
He's the same age as you. So I had friends outside of my school. So I was at Athlone, but I had friends at Cairns, had friends at JP, had friends at Highlands North, Queens.
Yeah, but that was also because you couldn't be friends with the people at your school.
I wasn't allowed at my school.
Because their parents wouldn't let them. Your son's a bad boy.
My mom would go to Mrs. Levinson. Would go to a party like and they'd say, please come to lunch on Sunday. Just please don't bring David.
Really?
That's a real story.
Jesus,
and I realized
bad.
What it was.
That
because
is so
I had
bad.
No filter now. As a kid, I had no filter. So if someone was talking shit and I was 4, 5,
you'd
6 years
old,
you'd
say that man's talking.
I would say that.
Shit.
And it was so unheard of as a kid in the 70s to go, Mom, why is Uncle
You would actually say Uncle Trevor's talking shit.
Not talking shit. I just bust him, say, this guy's lied about this. That guy's, who's that girl he was with yesterday? Who's this new one? So you're busting him having an affair. You're busting, and they're like, please don't ring David. Just too much shit.
God, that's funny. All right, listen, we're going to talk a little bit. Dave's going to stay here for this. It'll be lots of fun. We're going to talk about leadership a little bit later on. I mean, it's something that keeps coming up.
I was head prefect at my school.
See, exactly. We're going to talk about how to create effective industry leaders across the board in South Africa. So we've got someone called Tumi Rabanye coming in, and she'll be joining us in a little while. Is it a guy Tumi or a girl Tumi, James? Girl Tumi, yeah. Because you get both.
You do.
Yeah.
So, Tumi Maroc is one of the greatest comics in
South Africa. I love Tumi. How's she? Have you spoken to her
Have
lately?
You thought about this? Comedy in
no,
South Africa.
No, have you spoken to Tumi Maroc lately?
I had her as one of my gigs, and she obviously had a corporate gig, so she didn't come, but I have spoken to her recently.
Okay.
She's looking good. She's smart. She's getting
she's
things
fantastic.
Done. Have you noticed how diverse comedy is? Yeah. And from the day one, if you take who's our
nobody
who's
had
the
to
last?
Put, nobody had to put quotas in.
Yeah. Because what's your merit? Are you funny?
Are you funny?
So when someone says to me, oh, this BEE, I have to fill in a form. I'm like, well, with comedy, I go, chick comedian, a guy in a wheelchair, do the thing. If you had it right down our BEE score,
you're
kicking ass.
Yeah, yeah. Comedians.
But it wasn't
category.
Always like that. Remember Biltong and Potrust? How many black comics were on that?
Yeah, but how many whites were at Blacks Only?
Oh, yeah. Now I speak to David Coe all the time, and I rip him off about it.
I love David. How's he doing?
All the comedians went through stuff. But I suppose at the higher level you were, the more you dropped. And he really had a hard time. Because remember, he was doing well. He's got kids at private school. He's driving cars, doing Blacks Only, doing things, doing corporate events for government level.
You think he hits
it hard,
quite hard in COVID?
Hard. Like, I lost a house and a car and TVs and stuff.
But he lost two.
I don't know. He lost five houses. But he's you know, we started comedy at the same, like the same hour in 1999.
Right.
At the same place.
Really?
There was David Carr, myself, Riyad Musa, Mark
Lottering.
It wasn't
very diverse in terms of the number of Davids. A lot of Davids. Mark,
David Lottering, David Musa, Koki David.
Another David. See?
At the coffee lounge.
Listen. No. I hate to change the subject because this always happens when we talk to comedians. I always ask about the other comics and like, how's it going?
No, fuck them all, man.
Yeah, but I don't want to talk about comics.
Ask me about a comic.
No, because there's so much other stuff to talk. There's so much other stuff to talk to you about. Someone sent me this morning. This might get me into Formula One. You know, anyone who listens to the show, watched the show over anywhere in the last 25 years, you'll know I don't give a damn about Formula One.
Or sport.
Never watch. Or sport in general. Yeah,
you're not
but Formula One in particular. I may just become a Formula One viewer. Watch this.
Can Have I you do that? Got that, got can that I do video? The AI voice? Can I do AI voice for this?
Yes,
I didn't catch the name there, just so I can put it.
I'll tell you a name now.
You know what's wrong is that, and this is life. This is life, Gareth. Never think that your wank bank is full. There's always space for a Formula One driver in a bodysuit.
Okay,
Lindsay something.
Yeah, she's fantastic. A friend of mine sent this to me from America this morning, said it's time that you move on from pole vaulters. And I think he's right.
Although the pole vaulter from Sweden.
Her name is Lindsay Marie Brewer, Brewer.
No, she's in.
Yes, sis.
She's in the cockpit.
Okay, so there's a reason to start watching Formula One, right?
To get good tires.
I don't even know if it's Formula One. It might be some other formula.
No, it's actually a breeding, not a breeding ground. It's a
breeding ground. I'll help her with that.
All of the Formula One cars.
You want to see me? You want to see me make children?
So those races that they have there. All females, and they're in Formula One cars. So it'll be Red Bull, whatever it is.
No.
They have to, that's them. And they are going to come through to Formula One at some point because they're fucking good racers.
Yeah.
And yeah, there's not going to be any problem with sponsorship for her. She'll do a lot of hair product.
Oh, I think she'd get plenty of sponsors. See, now that is where I have no problem because people always go, if you don't want to see women playing rugby, you're a misogynist. I'm like, no. The difference is, I don't want to see men tackling women in rugby because I think that's bad for the women. I don't want to see girls going into the boxing ring with guys.
Yes. There you go.
But in Formula One, fair's fair, definitely, man. And she'll attract way more sponsors than most of the guys will. Right?
Yeah.
And she deserves it. It's merit. It's same as comedy. If you're going to insist on this diverse
thing. It's different
for
me because I'm a very, very good looking comic.
Yeah, you're tremendous. Yeah, that's true.
Myself and Colin Moss, we're in the same.
You and really, and Brad Pitt.
I mean, easily.
And, yeah.
Brad Pitt, never heard of him.
Listen.
Her. I've never heard of her.
Never heard
Fuck,
of
I fucked up the joke. I hate this show.
It's early in the morning.
You know what I like is that you talk about being a dad. You're not a dad. But when I was lying on the couch, you said, sit up straight, you fucking idiot.
Because that's what I would do if I was.
But now that's what I do with my kid. There's no. Yeah. And you know what happens? I can look
at
him.
Well, my dad spoke to me like that when we were kids. He'd say, sit the fuck up, you idiot. Yeah, just
so
like
my
that.
My dad wasn't there, so I don't know how his voice would have been. But I can make my kid do something just by having. I'll just walk in there. What are you doing?
So
the whole time I just walk around.
Do you have a dad voice in your head?
It'd be my grandfather.
Okay.
He's just a very smart,
where was your dad?
Patient. Ach, he went to buy cigarettes once.
Deadbeat. Like just left you guys.
Nice guy. But just left. He left my mom.
Have you ever tried to like, track him down?
Well, we got friends towards the end of his life. So he died recently. But when I say friends, it was almost on his terms. He just went, he didn't apologize for anything. He just arrived.
Yeah, he
would have coffee.
Obviously didn't give a shit.
No, but he had in his own way, it was his way of going, how's it, Dave? Let's have a cup of coffee.
Do you look like him?
I look like him.
And do you think your son looks like him?
Son looks like his mom, okay. Luckily.
Yeah.
Good looking kid. But when the voice in my head is my grandfather's voice, because he was just oh really, you think so, you reckon? He never corrected you. He would just go, that's amazing, tell me more. And he knows I'm talking shit.
Yeah,
I was sitting on his lap when I was about four and I was doing the crossword, but I had fucked up his crossword because he did it every day.
Yes.
So I just took the pen and I just wrote letters in the blocks, and he said, wow, Dave, that's so good. And he's sitting there like, I'm basically breaking the man's crossword. And he was the first one to spot when I was 3 years old that I'm left-handed. So he said to my mom, oh, by the way, your kid's left-handed. He's like, oh, how do you know? Because he did the crossword. So he shows the crossword to my mom.
The whole time, woman.
My mom goes, he did the crossword? He must be a genius. He goes, yeah, I'll check. Just a whole lot of squiggles.
But he encouraged you.
I think if you wrote the letters.
He didn't say, ah, you moron.
Exactly.
You ruined my crossword.
And he would often say it like, so let's do it again tomorrow. So it became a thing. So he knows we bonded on that. And he was a sports fanatic, but a sports administrator.
Okay.
He did South African swimming.
All right.
So he took a whole lot of swimmers overseas during apartheid. Took them to Uruguay, Paraguay, and the US.
Wow.
And also trained swimmers. Tried to get black swimmers to the Olympics.
Wow.
That's in the 1970s.
Yeah, I mean, that's a kind of...
Yeah.
That's a real
story. So that's
story.
A good role model. So the voice in my head is his.
Okay. I'm just curious because we all have a voice in our head, right? You have your mom voice. You have your dad voice. No, you do.
David, get my slippers.
And you have your kind voice and you have your angry voice.
My mom made us buy presents on Father's Day.
Really?
That's where I get my sense of humor from. She would come in and go, guys, it's Father's Day tomorrow. You better fucking get me something. So we had to get her slippers and make her breakfast in bed on Father's Day. That's so smart.
That's fantastic.
Oh.
All right, here's something that's also fantastic. So Gauteng police transported a suspected drug mule to a hospital where she was administered laxatives to expel 60 pellets of suspected cocaine from her body. The action was taken after an airport x-ray revealed foreign objects in the woman's stomach. National police spokesman... I'm not going to read this name.
So she messed up the Delicious Festival big time.
Stated the 30-year-old woman was apprehended on Sunday at Aratambo Airport. Mate, that's the brigadier. Brigadier Mate explained, SAPS customs and immigration officials acted on intelligence from the SAPS. It's a lot of SAPS in that sentence. About a drug mule arriving from Sao Paulo in Brazil around 7:25. I mean, Oaks... come from Brazil.
It's all cliche, hey?
Yeah, I mean, it's like
but
such
you know,
an obvious
that
one.
If she had tattooed two arseholes, they wouldn't have caught her. This is the future, Gareth. If there's a tattoo artist out there.
Is your other arsehole adjacent, below or next to?
It's adjacent.
It's on the cheek.
No, you have to go in. It's just on the side. Do you want to see?
No, I don't want to see.
No, I don't have tattoos.
No. The team intercepted the drug mule as she was passing through immigration. The suspect was promptly arrested and taken to a local hospital. And then they gave her a bunch of laxatives to clear out the system.
Yeah, they fold them up in little condom tubes.
Have you seen such a thing?
Yeah, I messed up my whole weekend. I phoned her, I said, where are you? She's like, I've been intercepted. What's she transcepted? What was she?
Intercepted.
She was intercepted. I said, what do you mean? I've paid you. And she's like, it's fine. You can e-wallet me. I'm like, no. I want my drugs. Wash them first.
Oh, I hope your son's watching.
I always wash my... Whenever I get the drugs in a capsule like that, I always make sure it's handy, Andy.
Just in case, because you know they've been...
Well,
in
you know
asshole.
Where they've been.
I like, though, that you're kind of joking, but you're not. I know people... No, because I know people who, you know, do drugs.
Yeah.
I never really understand if they've thought it through, like where those came from, whose asshole they were.
I think it's when it becomes an addictive thing like that. You really, there's no barriers.
You don't
care.
You
just want it. You want it now.
But we had a guy in here on Monday, who was telling us about how he got addicted to opioids, because he went in for an op and they gave him these patches and it was like,
phew.
yeah, hardcore stuff. And fascinating story because he eventually managed to wean himself.
No, that's highly addictive.
Hugely.
That's your chemicals being studied and going, what does this chemical do?
Yeah.
Say, watch this. And it just goes
straight.
And the receptor is messed up for life.
Yeah, yeah.
No, that's but, crazy.
But he managed also know, to, he managed comedy to wean himself off, know, which is quite something.
When you're a comedian or any star or person that's in backstage vibes,
yeah.
There's always going to be someone there going, have a drink. Have a line. Now, you got to choose at that point. So you look at Robin Williams' stories, like cocaine is God's way of telling you you're making too much money.
Yeah.
So you have the choice as a comedian or a musician or DJ, whatever it is. You've just got to know, like, this doesn't turn out nicely. There's not one guy that went, hey, I've been doing coke my whole life. Things are going well. Got all my teeth. There's not one. So you can't be that guy going, let me just try it out. If you've got a slightly addictive personality, so we know John Fismas and you know his story. Whatever he does become very much into it. He's a vegan
he's
now.
Obsessed.
He's in.
Yeah.
And you spot those people.
He looks like a vegan now.
Yeah, I don't like, I can't finish a whole one. if you see someone, do you say anything? You're like, hey, you maybe shouldn't be doing this because you're very into it. You know, if you do go you, to, if okay, I went so, to Malcolm Ferreira's house, it was 8:30 in the morning, and he said, "Do you want a Jack Daniels?" I said, "That's not how it works."
Wow.
That's not how it works.
So you told him no.
No, I just, I said, "This isn't right." And he was very aggressive with me about it. And yeah. I went and stand down. I'm like, "No, that's not how it works. You don't do that."
So you do correct your friends.
I do, but it's not seen as a nice thing in the beginning. Maybe 10 years.
Yeah, I had this conversation with someone just the other day.
If I get in the car and I've got comedians I'm taking to a show, because obviously we lift each other, give each other lifts. And yeah. The one guy lit a cigarette in my car. And I stopped the car and said, "Get out." He's like, "Well," I said, "Well, if you want to smoke, I'll wait for you, but you're not smoking in my car." Mm. And he's like, "Wow, I'm so proud of you, because no one's ever told me I can't do that." So these people grow up being told that they can do anything.
This is why your kid's a nice child. No, really.
But to stop the car, guy said, "Wow, that was weird." I said, "It's not weird. Because, I don't want my car smelling like cigarettes."
Because the hardest thing to do is to say no.
To your friends.
And your children.
Oh.
Like, because you want them to like you and you want to make them happy. So you let them get away with shit they shouldn't get away with. I think it's a really tough thing, hey. And maybe there's someone in the comments section who has something to say about this, because they always
Grant do. D'Souza. God knows Bianca, my ex knows Jude's mom, I think.
So, but shut up, Dave. I'm busy making a point.
I want to talk about drugs.
No, hang on. I think this is important. How much leeway do you have with your friends? Because I'm not the kind of friend who gets involved in people's relationship issues, or if I think they're drinking too much, or certainly there will be a point where you have to get involved, right?
The point where you get involved is you would want them to tell you if you're going off the rails. That's the level.
Yeah, but how do you know? Because that's where I struggle. How do you know when to say to someone? And I'm not saying I've got a bunch of friends who need to be corrected, but how do you know when it's time to say to them, "Hey, listen, I think you should just ease off of this a little. I feel like you're going a little awry."
So the endowment there is that they're going to go, "Fuck you. And tell me what to do."
Yeah.
But you did it. You got it out. You said the thing. And that's it. You've seen, what about abusive relationship where you see this isn't going lekker?
Yeah.
And then you say something to the girl and she's like, "No, he's a nice guy. He's a nice guy." And you're like, "Well, I've said it. Yeah. I said my thing." And then 10 years down the line, they're like, "Thanks, man. Well, why didn't anyone tell me?"
Carl says, "Why don't you start a show called Comedians and Cars Getting Chastised?"
I saw a very lekker show with Seth Meyers, which is weirdly alcoholic based. And he goes day drinking with celebrities. And it actually turns out quite nicely. There's more info in a celebrity after a few drinks that you don't think are cool celebrities. I didn't think Rihanna was cool. Rihanna.
But even, you know, the people I'm really, really good friends with, I feel like there's a perfect Goldilocks zone where you can have drinks with them or you can party with them. It's not completely wild and out of control, but it's also not boring and sober and like a business meeting.
But you also find that you're going to move away from those types of friends. You've got the ones that are in control, that you know that you can.
Absolutely.
You guys, I'll get you an Uber.
You have different kinds of friends.
So they're gone. Yeah. But you'll get an Uber for your buddy and go, "Listen, let's get you home."
Yeah, you're a disaster. Yeah. But also you don't need those friends around all the time, because that'll get very exhausting.
But I also want my kid to experience those people. Otherwise, he's not going to have like a full rounded thing. He's got to see the freaks, the normals, and know the difference and go, "Freaks are cool."
So, because you said earlier you wanted to be friends with a whole lot of fun, interesting
people
when you were young.
Yeah.
And he brings interesting people.
So if you're just in one lane and you know, "These are my friends," he's going to be like, "No, go make friends with the." We were in a shop yesterday. No, he wasn't with me. He's gone to Portugal. It was the day before. And there was a lady in a wheelchair. And I said, "Can I help you with some of the stuff on the shelves?" She can't reach the shelves. And my son went like, "You just went to some stranger in a wheelchair and asked her if you could fetch some Cocoa Pops," because she cannot reach the Cocoa Pops.
Yeah.
And she said to me, "You know, I've got most of my stuff, but thank you. Like, most people don't even know I exist."
Wow.
And she's got a trolley and she's in a wheelchair.
Look at you finding an opportunity to tell us how virtuous you are. Let me hear. You got her number, huh?
So it turns out. So then we start talking in because we're in the till aisle there, you know, with all the goodies. And then my son started talking to her as well, and then got in the car and he said he found out that she had a helicopter accident. She used to do motocross. She used to do the filming for motocross.
Yeah.
For these big ones, the Roof of Africa, the rallies.
Sure.
So this is my kid now talking to this woman in a wheelchair. So I'm like, "That's what I want you to do."
Yes.
So I can't tell him to do
that's
it
good.
Unless I don't. And so I've got to just do the things.
Right.
So I don't know where that comes from.
Well, Carl says, "I've just switched my video on and realized that Dave was being sarcastic about being a good-looking comedian."
Yeah, it's her low res joke.
And then I can't figure out what this is, the longest comment I've ever seen in the comment section from Linda Oliveira.
Oh, I remember her.
I was told by Gareth twice to stop listening to his show. Look at how long this comment is.
You were told. No,
she. I told her to stop listening to the show twice because she was obviously irritating me. And I listen every day. Recently, I asked which day is the burning platform. He answered every day since 2014. I knew that, but with his change, I can only see the show on Facebook because I'm old and dislike technology a lot. Moral of the story is this Gareth man is intelligent and makes sense what he says. He doesn't agree with much with us in the commentating. So to come, blah, blah, blah. I've lost interest here, Linda, but...
Have you had people who send you long voice notes?
He has no choice. We will listen. Okay, well, I can't fight you on this. I can't make it unavailable. I can't block you. So I'm not going to.
So you know what? You've got your power of. You are in control of the stuff that you can control. So when I say to someone, even back in the day when we did the podcast, I'm saying, I'm at this thing with Gareth Cliff. And they go, oh, what's he like? He seems very, and they'll give like five different verbs.
What did they say?
No, he's self-centered. He seems a bit rude. He seems a bit this. And I'm like, you know, the guy's only ever just been engaging, nice, how's it? And you don't suffer fools gladly. So when things start going weird, you're like, okay, guys, I'm out. It's business time. But you have the time to talk to shit to the comedians. You gave us a platform. And it's so weird when people will say that, but you have no control over that. No. If they think you're arrogant, what? Give me some nice Gareth Cliff adjectives.
Full of himself.
Full of himself.
Opinionated.
What are you going to do?
Rude, mean to people.
What are you going to do? You can't control that.
But again, it does like being irrelevant to some people. I don't care.
Do you know how hectic it is with you? Imagine, see in the comments.
Imagine me or you or anyone else. If you're listening to this now, imagine you spend your life trying to be relevant to someone.
To everyone.
Who clearly doesn't give a damn about you. Like, that's so sad. That's like the unrequited love in a story. You know, like there's this loser nerd at school who's always trying to like hit on the cheerleader. And the cheerleader always ignores him. It's like
trying so hard to please everyone.
Yeah. Why would you be the nerd rather than the cheerleader? Am I right?
You know that nerd and cheerleader are married now.
Probably. And they probably have a very well-adjusted child.
You got me thinking about this irrelevant thing.
Yes, Linda, says Signet. That monologue took over the entire screen. We couldn't even see Gareth. Now we're going to end up with some... competition.
You have a comedy section. What's a comment section right there on stage, which is amazing.
That's right.
You don't interact with the people there. So you it's superfluous. You can go, this is funny. It's irreverent. It's whatever it is. On stage, I heard someone come to me after the show and go, that one joke that you told about the midget, I don't think it's funny because my friend has a friend whose uncle who's friends with the midget.
Everything else is fine.
So I said, so that offended you because you know someone. You're not. Mm. The guy in front, by the way, who is a short person,
was
laughing his fucking ass off.
Yeah, right.
So it's weird. You get a comment section that's so immediate.
I will never.
For someone to wait for you after a show. Imagine that person's, they're waiting for you. Now you're having a drink at the bar, doing your thing, getting paid, do your stuff, setting up your sound system, packing away your stuff, just doing your job. And they wait for you outside. Yeah. Listen, I don't think you should have made a joke about Miss South Africa being deaf. I'm like, I didn't make a joke about it. I said, I think it's fantastic. And like, but you shouldn't mention it. I'm like, but she's mentioning it. She's on stage saying things. It's not, it's out there. And they say, you can't.
Dave,
you can't.
I would never claim to be a comedian because you guys do this for a living.
But you've got a good sense of humor.
Well, I hope so. I mean, otherwise I wouldn't have lasted in this business. But here's the thing. And there is a similarity. What you guys do, I've always said, the hardest of all the performing arts, right? It's by far the toughest because your audience give you immediate feedback. Yeah. And if you cuck, you just burn. You crash and burn. And it is disastrous. And everyone can see it.
There's two types of comedians. Those that are going to die and those that have.
Yeah, correct. But the only thing that I would say is similar between what we do here and what I've always tried to do on radio and what you guys do is that I take a lot of stuff live, right? So that's one of the reasons I keep this show at 6 a.m. God forbid that I should actually wake up at a normal time and come in here and enjoy my life and go to meetings and not be tired by 4 p.m. every day. But I have to keep it live because there's something electric about that. And these comments and the phone calls that we used to take, you never know what you're going to get, right? And I love when people call in. I always find the comment that's the worst or the meanest or the funniest or the nastiest. And I put that up on screen. because that's the thing that people are entertained that's by. They know that it's really happening because this is not CNN where we're trying to filter things and control what you think and give you a narrative.
You know what's nice? Tomorrow we do it all again and we realize how none of these things were that important that they're going to change your life.
But all of
tomorrow
us,
we're going to talk about foot diseases.
All of us are having fun. That's the point too. With your foot diseases and your Crocs, with your foot diseases leaking out of the holes in the Crocs.
You have to wear socks and then the socks come out the Crocs like little pieces of spaghetti.
Oh my God.
We've actually said too much about Crocs, and if they're not sponsoring the next show, I'll be upset.
Carl says, screw your comfort, Gareth. You get here at 6 a.m. I will. Don't worry. Comment section is belligerent
is
beyond
Carl
belief.
Is Carl your dog typing now?
No, that dog's dead, but thanks for your sensitivity.
Sorry.
I've
got a friend who can stuff him for you.
He's already cremated. It's finished. Yeah, it's too late.
I'm friends with a taxidermist.
Really?
That's what I said to my kids.
Really?
Well.
You're friends with a taxidermist?
Imagine that's what you must do. So what do you do? Oh. Taxiderm. And now we're buddies. Because I want to know everything.
Yes, absolutely.
I want to know everything. So I said, is it illegal to stuff a human? And he's like, you can't do it. You're just going to have to.
I did that with Saki Bartman.
I did it. So his dad was involved in two of the other people, and the government stopped him from doing it.
Listen, when they put Eva Perón into her coffin and they mummified her.
The Argentinian.
Right. Eva Perón, who was married to Juan Perón. Yeah, correct. Evita. Uh-huh. The doctor who did that.
No, he's still alive.
No, that doctor used to carry around a mummified head of a person in his briefcase. And at the meeting where he was proving to people that I can do this for you, he'd pull the head out and say, look, here's a mummified head.
That's his blankie.
I can do this for you.
That's his security blanket. No, they don't do it like that. They never do it like that. But he did. He says he doesn't like
doing.
How would
you look if you were mummified?
Like this, like Brad Pitt, obviously. But he says people come to him and he hates doing dogs and cats because when you do it, he doesn't use your cat. He's got a mold.
Mm.
So it just has, there's five different sizes. So if your cat fits in between A and B, it's like teeth. Then he'll put that skin over that mold. And then they're so emotionally attached to Carl or whoever it is that they hate it. And he's like, you asked me to do it. I told you.
Yeah, but also there's that weird. So we've got some weird taxidermy on the background here. Take a look, like up here above the TV screen.
Have you seen that weird meme? Those things are fabulous. That's some of my best work.
Those your mate did for us. There's some fucked up animals up
there. I made a joke about that. I said, a lady came there and said, can I have these two dogs stuffed? And he said, would you like them mounted? And she said, no, just holding hands would be fine. Making taxidermy
jokes.
Have you
seen those bad taxidermy?
I love that.
If you Google bad taxidermy, you end up with
my two meme sites on Insta is the bad taxidermy and people falling off golf carts.
So we've really hit the ball out of the park with you this morning. And we've got bad taxidermy
on
the show.
Can't wait for Leanne to come back on Monday.
I know.
Can I come on Monday just and sit there?
Yeah, you can. It'll be very weird.
For who?
For everyone. In fact, we'll have, if you do, we'll put a camera on.
We did a naked show at your thing. Remember?
You did. Yeah, I was very disturbed by that. It was actually the sex show.
You know why you were disturbed? Because you're like, did they clean the seats?
Exactly. Because I had to do my show the next day.
Because there would have been some fecal matter.
Oh, God.
No, we're trying to explain that to people in comedy.
What Dave's talking about, let me just clear this
up. The sex show.
There are people who've just come on, but they don't know the history here. We used to have a sex show on Cliff Central in the old days. And
Jonathan.
Yeah. There was a whole team on the sex show, and they would do different kinds of themes every week. And the one week they did a nude show for nudists, and they wanted to have all these naked people in the studio, but we insisted that they put towels down on all the furniture, and you joined them. You weren't even asked. No, you weren't meant to be part of that show.
I didn't even know it was a naked
show.
You
just wanted to go and join them. You weirdo freak. See, again,
it's an experience. You push your boundaries.
Whatever, Dave. All right, so now you're going to behave yourself while we bring in this guest.
Yes, I'm going to sit up there.
Well, you don't have to move. We can just put her there.
Can you talk that far?
Yeah, of course. But this is a professional studio. What do you think this is? Dumi Rabanye is going to be our guest this morning, managing partner and head of strategy at, what is it called? Legas Delaney. Thank you very much.
How's it?
And Legas Delaney is an independent communications agency. They've got an office in London. They've got Hamburg, Milan, Shanghai, Johannesburg, Cape Town. So really, really big company. What are you guys? Are you consultants, media?
We're an ad agency.
Ad agency.
Creative and strategy.
Very good. Yeah. Okay, well, nice to have you here.
Yeah, nice to be here.
All right. So we're going to talk a little bit about leadership.
Yes.
I'm sorry that Dave has to be here for this, but you know, It's not ideal.
Welcome, Dave.
So let's pretend Dave is the kind of person that we're trying to teach about leadership.
Right.
I'm too old.
And I think that you've got an interesting take on this,
because
you use unorthodox methods to talk about leadership.
Yes. Well,
jazz music, for
example. Jazz music.
Right.
It was just inspired by this wonderful, wonderful book I read called Yes to the Mess. But it draws like analogies from jazz. And in fact, my arrival here is a great example, preparing for improvisation.
Right.
In jazz, improvisation is a big part of how you do what you do.
Sometimes they go on for 20 minutes.
They
and you're sitting there going, I've tried to come on a date to this stupid jazz bar. Now the girlfriend has fallen asleep and she's drooling on the floor.
Are you a hater?
Jazz players
He's a
play.
Jazz
the
hater.
Music's got the notes.
Yeah.
They play the line part.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where's the note? Improvising is also a comedy thing. Like, you've got to be able to adapt.
Yeah, absolutely.
So jazz music, I mean, any really great musician will tell you that jazz is right up at the top.
I guess, but
because,
I think it's...
Because that you get to improv like you don't in other forms of music to the same degree, right?
Absolutely.
So I totally get what you're saying, even though I'm not a hater. I think jazz can be hugely self-indulgent, but I think what you're taking out of this is that it allows you to learn lessons. And, you know, there's so many things that we can learn leadership lessons from.
Right.
But jazz is also really useful for, I mean, he's a creative person. He gets up on stage and tells jokes.
Right.
He doesn't know what's going to happen. You've got a rough idea, but you have to improvise a lot of the time, right?
Most of the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think these things link. Actually, it's not a bad thing you're here.
Thanks, Timmy.
See,
cool.
Timmy, I'm so glad you're here. But like him, I was a bit worried.
Yeah.
All right. So where were we
so,
at?
So another great analogy is learning to take your solo, but learn to back others as well. Because the self-indulgence, you listen to one instrument and you go into it, but eventually others have to come in. It has to flow.
Right.
And that's how you make the music. And in leadership, we talk about, and I know it's especially so in our industry, you kind of focus on the creative director tends to be the main rock star.
Absolutely.
Right? Yeah. But to launch any campaign, you've got to have strat there. Mm-hmm. You've got to have client service. You've got to have production. Mm-hmm. You've got to have a whole value chain. So it reminds you again.
And everybody always leaves out finance.
Everybody leaves out finance and nothing moves without them.
Damn right.
But that's exactly it. So as in jazz, learn to take your solo, but back others as well.
I love
because
that.
Because that's how you have a complete
It actually
set.
Relates very well. And I mean, we hadn't planned this, but it almost feels like we had. We were talking about how the live element of doing this show, I never really know what's going to happen either.
Yeah.
Dave was saying in comedy, you have to take feedback from your audience. And the audience that really care, the people in the audience who really care, will actually come and communicate with you, even if it's after the show.
Right.
Which is tremendous because you can measure your, I know we throw this word around, this engagement word. You know, you in advertising.
Oh, my word.
God, if they tell me one more stat about like your engagement levels. Like, this is the business I'm in. Don't tell me what I'm doing.
If you've got a billboard on the highway for 10 years, you would love to have everyone that drives past it and you'd love to hear what they think.
Right.
But you can't. But with these things, you can. People, that billboard
Absolutely.
Sucks. Like, what a stupid idea. Why is that bottle of whiskey on the billboard next to the pretty lady? But it would be great for you to get that feedback.
One
I
particular
get feedback
one.
In comedy straight away. I walked on stage and this guy looked up and he went, oh, fuck, I hate this guy. And I just said hello. So
oh,
that's
my word.
The kind of feedback you want when you're in a Strat meeting.
Yes. Yes, especially in Strat, by the way.
All right, so let's talk about one or two of these things here because there was an interesting article that brought this to my attention, and that's why we invited you on the show. So you said there that the sum of all of us is greater than our parts, and it starts with you playing your part. Does that
Play
also relate to the instrument? And
absolutely. Be a great part.
Explain this
be,
to me.
Be a great part. So, and I talk about how each part creates harmony, and when we think about, like, harmony...
Mm.
We always think about it as this wonderful, mm-hmm. you know.
Everything's flowing in the same direction.
Do you know what I mean?
Makes sense.
But actually, a great drum set is necessary to punctuate. Do you know what I mean? You need a great drummer. You need a great double bass player. You need a great trumpeter. So each one of those has to be excellent in their own right in order to make up for a great set.
I love
and
that.
And that's really it. So I can't rock up here and be mediocre and expect my business partner Gav to churn out a brilliant campaign. I need to play my part.
I love it. I so far I'm totally in agreement with you. I'm hoping I'll find somewhere where I disagree. if you're not making a mistake, it's a mistake.
Uh-huh.
Explain that to me.
And this is a quote. I think it came from Miles Davis, but it really addresses our natural aversion with mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And we always feel that we need to be right and accurate. And yet the feedback that can come to you is like, no, dude, you're off. You're off the mark. The engagement levels are low. So
you
do more.
Like being told that.
That's such a good
right.
point.
It's
by the way, look how good you look on screen.
Oh,
look at you.
Thank you.
Oh, fantastic. So to me, this is a very important point because I think South African business, maybe it's not just us, maybe it's the world at the moment, but people are so scared of making a mistake.
Oh, yeah.
They don't do anything. So they just freeze.
Oh, absolutely.
And they let things happen until it's so out of control.
Decision
that
making.
They can no longer lead because it's now become a
decision making inertia.
Right.
Yeah,
so this is important. If you're not making any mistakes, that's a mistake.
Right.
I love that.
Right.
Okay. Tell me about take your solo, but support the others too.
That's the one I was talking about, taking your solo and supporting others. So like I said, it's great. It's great to be the central figure, to be on the stage.
Me
yeah.
the whole time.
Chill on okay. the eye specialization.
Do you agree with this stuff when, I mean, you're not leading a team as a
There's a word for it. They call it something paralysis, where you do
analysis
nothing.
Paralysis.
You do nothing, which is the worst thing to do because now you actually were going to do it. And
yeah.
all your fear, everything that you want is the other side of fear. So once you just get it there, but you don't want someone, if you can, you sound supporting, especially in a head agency where there are crazy ideas and we're all going to brainstorm.
Yeah.
And then, you're so scared to say your idea because they go, what the fuck are you talking about? That makes no sense. And then you shut up the rest of the day.
That's exactly it. And I think, like, I'll just refer back to Strat, which is my role. I find that the paralysis can get so overwhelming in Strat because, again, where you're coming from, typically you're not the rock star.
Mm-hmm.
You're not the main character on the stage.
Mm-hmm. But that strategy is going to guide the entire campaign.
Absolutely. And in the absence of balancing creative and strat, you've got another thing coming. You know?
So you mentioned, I mean, you start off with jazz and you also talk about Heritage Month in the article.
Yeah.
But jazz is hugely popular in this country.
Yes.
And as a result, many people will be able to map these ideas that you're talking about onto their experience of jazz music.
Absolutely.
It might apply to other
Absolutely.
Music as well.
Yeah.
Right?
And I was going to say that. I think it can apply to other genres. I'm just in love with jazz. And I thought, how apt for Heritage Month for us to reflect on jazz. If you think about, I talk about the best leaders are fallible leaders. And I talk about Huma Sekela is still grazing, where the guy lays out all his mistakes, mm-hmm. all his mm-hmm. F-ups. Are right there for us to learn from. And where it nets out is like, what a bloody great guy.
Yeah.
What a bloody rock star,
well,
right?
That goes to that authenticity thing
Absolutely.
That people also throw around the whole time in advertising, marketing, communications. It was going, oh, we need to be more authentic. But they're actually allergic to be authentic because they don't want to make mistakes.
You said it.
Yeah.
You said it. Allergic. And I was chatting with my business partner again, Gav, about authenticity and how it's like, it's such an overtraded word, but it's actually necessary, right?
Oh, it's fundamental. It I would say that there's very little that's more important at this stage because we've been given so much fake, artificial, sanitized stuff.
Yeah.
And people can just see through it now. I mean, I don't believe that the kind of spin that they used to put on politics.
Oh yeah!
Back in the day when like Olivia Pope was a thing, right?
Yeah,
that spin—I don't think that has the relevance that it used to, and people can see through it.
And nobody gets to where they're going without practice, without putting in the work.
It seems like contrary to get up there without practicing.
Well, don't you think also that we've got to—and everybody says this, but they don't practice it—we've got to let people make mistakes and forgive them and move on.
I would have fired James for that show we did when I was here last week.
Yeah, exactly.
But you allowed him.
I forget.
You know he's
him.
Never going to do that again. But it wasn't exactly what
it wasn't him. It was me. It was my disaster. I was responsible.
Oh,
and that's a big part of leadership too.
Yeah,
you have to take responsibility when it's you. You can't blame other people.
Own the mistake. Own the disaster. It's your disaster. But and also demonstrate resilience. Right, the ability to overcome. Once again, giving other people permission to overcome their mistakes as well.
So then, leadership roles. You never stop learning.
Absolutely. So
you
kind of,
when you say in the agency, it's very set. You kind of get other examples. So once you are a leader, you never stop learning. And as soon as you do, your whole team's going to spot it.
Oh, yeah. Like, oh, yeah.
This guy's reached a ceiling.
We've only got a little bit of time. And I love talking about leadership, which is why we brought you on. But tell me a little bit about you, because you're here now. And I like what you're saying. So I need to know a little bit more about you.
About me.
Huh.
Geez, I am Sika's mom.
Very good. That's the most important job of all.
I love jazz.
You got your own business here?
Yes.
Managing partner of Head and Strategy?
Yes.
Okay.
And like I said, we're a creative strat agency. Newly, I suppose, we're 3 years old in South Africa, but a little bit more mature.
Yeah, you've got all these other offices all over the world.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
It's pretty wild.
So it is. It is. It is. Investec.
Very good.
We do some work with Virgin.
Very nice.
We've done some work. I absolutely love the work with Pura Soda.
Very good.
The work is the theme is the ideas about giving a psht, and there's so much psht going into
love
the
it.
Stuff we put in our bodies going on in the world that it's worth thinking about what you take in. And
but then we
and
have,
giving up.
You haven't told us anything about you.
Oh my word!
You're avoiding. The
I
question.
Thought I skipped it.
No, she's doing that thing that is true humility, because people profess humility. They like tell you all the things about them, and they go, "But I'm a very humble person." She's not doing any of that.
It is real humility.
I think of myself as a rural but regal girl from the northwest.
Okay.
Raised
Mutswan?
Copyright.
That. Raised in Mafeking. Pardon?
Mutswan?
Absolutely.
There we go.
Absolutely.
Rural but regal.
Rural but regal.
That's
Setswana for you.
That's brilliant. All right.
But that's me.
That's very nice. Well, listen, it's such a pleasure to spend some time with you.
It's been
I'm glad
great,
you could come and join us this morning.
Out.
Yeah, this is fun. Dave?
So as an ad agency, are you upset that that drug mule was caught?
Ad agencies have changed, Dave.
Oh, yes.
They're not like they were in the 80s.
Listen, they needed to change.
Yeah, yes.
They needed to change. Me. Otherwise, people like me wouldn't be here.
Exactly. They wouldn't have attracted real talent like this. They would have attracted druggies like you.
But you, aren't you a background in agency?
Yeah.
So, this is essentially an agency.
That's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
So and it's a very exciting business to be in, but it doesn't mean we're all doing drugs.
Oh, no. I'm very upset about that.
Yeah, Dave is upset because that drug mule they pulled out. But thank you so much for
thank
coming.
You.
And thank you, Pleasure. Dave.
We're done.
We're done. We're wrapping it up. And that's that is your Wednesday morning. I know it's only going to be a short week. We've got today, tomorrow, and Friday, and then it's back into another weekend.
Over. I'm going to Middleburg tomorrow.
No, you're going to Middleburg to let them down because you're going to Nelspruit. Oh. If anybody booked to see Dave at the Baron, you're out of luck because he's not going to be
Hannes
there.
You've got Hannes Brimmer, Al Prodges, and Q Dubey.
Okay, that's so there'll be show. Other people, but Dave won't. Yeah, very
cool.
Good. To me, Dave,
right,
thank you. And
thank you.
To you, thank you for joining us this morning. We didn't get to all the comments. We didn't get to all the things we wanted to talk about, but that's okay. We've got Friday. And don't forget tomorrow, Burning Platform on the podcast party, Friday morning right here. On the Gareth Cliff Show on the Real Network. Don't miss that. Subscribe, like, blah, 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 blah. And we will see you on Friday.
Cute.